They say that Captain Crunch stays crunchy even in milk. Even in milk? In what other context would that be a problem? This is something to think about. And here's something else. A welcome to The Empty Bowl, the meditative podcast about cereal. My name is Justin McElroy, and I am a cereal enthusiast.
And my name is Dan Goubert, and I am a cereal statesman, in that I am a man who states a lot of things about cereal.
Even in milk.
Especially in milk.
Especially in milk. Motor oil? Yeah, but not as much. It's not as impressive.
That's coming next season in our podcast.
Yeah. This is, like I said, a meditative podcast about cereal. We're going to have some news for you. No reviews this week because things are slow out there. But we're doing our best to keep up pace with this thrilling world that we call cereal. We do have a good amount of news, though, and I'm excited to tuck into it, Dan. What's first up?
So we're going to shake things up a little bit by...
Uh-oh.
Well, we're still going to be talking about a cereal, but these are called Pebbles Shake-Ups.
Oh.
And they are new from Post, and so far I've seen them... people have spotted them both in individual snack-sized pouches as well as sort of larger pouches. We don't need to get into right now sort of our personal feelings towards pouched cereals because, you know, we've already... well tread those territories,
yeah,
but
I feel like we've covered that.
The interesting thing about these, well, there's two different Pebbles pouches here, and let's start with the more straightforward one because the Cocoa Pebbles shake-ups seems like a pretty straightforward mix. Well, both of these are kind of advertising themselves as like a greatest hits mix of a familiar Post cereal bits that are shooken all up into one pouch. And in the Cocoa Pebbles variety, we have Cocoa Pebbles Boulders. First of all, this is extremely surprising to me that for this very niche, specific, peripheral cereal product, Post has decided to reinvigorate the Cocoa Pebbles Boulders.
Turn back on the Boulders machine.
It's been gathering dust since the Stone Age. 10 years ago was when Post actually released their Cocoa Pebbles Boulders cereal, which is basically just another name for, like, bigger puffed spheres versus your classic shrapnels of rice, if that's the best way to describe typical Pebbles.
What other way would you?
gravelly, I guess.
Yep.
But the original Pebbles Boulders flavors were caramel apple and chocolate peanut butter. So you might think that these Cocoa Pebbles Boulders are just bringing back the chocolate pieces. But when we get to the other flavor of shakeups, I'll pose my alternative theory.
Okay.
But going back to the mix here, we have the Cocoa Pebbles Boulders, so just chocolatey spheres. We have chocolate honeycomb pieces, which was another cereal that only came out in pouched form earlier this year, and which was pretty all right. I think it is a nice, airy chocolate, thick chocolate cereal that would do well in this mix. And then they round out the mix with just your typical standard-issue white Marbits. And they're calling the overall mix Cocoa Explosion, but when I look at what's on offer here, I feel like it's really going to be lacking in punchy chocolate flavor.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're already casting aside the traditional shackles of a boxed single-origin cereal, why not just get really wacky about it? If you're going to call this a shake-up, do something that's actually going to subvert our expectations and throw, like, some chocolate chips in there or some cacao nibs or something that'll really give a creaminess. At least that's my opinion on this one.
Yeah. They're not known for big, bold flavors. These the Pebbles. They're the flavors are sort of, I feel like at least, the flavors are sort of an afterthought to the texture. It is interesting that they went with like salty in the regular Pebbles one, but not in the chocolate, because I feel like chocolate would be a nice combo there.
Yeah, so the other Pebbles shake up I think is much more interesting. First of all, it's It's colored to appear as like the fruity pebbles complement to the chocolate one, but there are no fruity pebbles that appear in this one. Mm-hmm. Instead, the main constituent part is birthday cake pebbles boulders, which, if you recall what I said about pebbles boulders earlier, that was never an original flavor of pebbles boulder. But what it just so happens to correspond to this birthday cake and chocolate combo is the Timbit cereal that Post released in Canada not too long ago, which of course came in birthday cake and chocolate glazed. So this seems like a definite reintroduction of those pieces, or maybe, you know, dipping into their leftover bin of those cereal parts to give them a new life. Yeah. And then maybe at that point they sort of panicked and realized that they had to design something else entirely around those pieces, and that's how you get this Pebbles shake-up that combines birthday cake Pebbles boulders with waffle crisp pieces and salted pretzel bits, which is just...
What a weird combo.
Yeah, it seems like an AI-generated mix of flavors to have maple cake and salted pretzel. I mean, of course, this one then, yeah, calls itself the sweet and salty mix, and it's just strange enough that it makes me want to try it. So I probably will end up looking for this one, even though I'm not really sure the best way to eat it. Should I just like get a mouthful of everything, or should I try and pick out the individual pieces?
It's a fine question that I don't have an answer for.
Whole pouch with a hammer.
I mean, you could do that. You could do that with almost any cereal. It's not on the label, but you can fully do that. I feel like they probably want you to eat the whole thing all together, but it seems like it'd be a weird combo. But you know what? We don't want to be in the business of poo-pooing innovation, because I feel like that's one of the things that we have stridently decried in our time doing this show, is the fact that there's so little sort of risk-taking on that front.
That's true. If nothing else, I'm very impressed by this never-before-seen mix of tastes and experiences and potential fun, I hope.
Maybe. We'll see. It's a big pouch, which I approve of. That's a nice... it's a better aesthetic than the tiny little snack-sized pouches. For me, at least, it's a better eating experience.
Definitely.
Oh, Dan, this next one doesn't sound good, but...
Oh, man.
Doesn't sound good, but I don't know.
This one is a visceral totem to even look at. Have you seen the pictures of this Mrs. Butterworth's Fruity Pebbles?
Is it on Seriously.net?
I haven't posted it yet, but you can go Cereal Life on Instagram posted about it. And so this isn't even the first introduction of cereal into syruped form in recent memory, because...
Oh, didn't IHOP did that thing, right?
Well, yeah, Cap'n Crunch dropped his Ocean Blue syrup, which was not actually flavored like anything besides just normal syrup, which is only loosely based on maple flavor anyway when you're getting it in these ready-made plastic bottles. But this Fruity Pebble syrup really is bursting with cereal branding and promise. And you just got old Mrs. Butterworth here in her plastic molded bottle filled with essentially what looks like her crimson lifeblood. And I'm struggling to think of what I would use an entire bottle of Fruity Pebble syrup on. Because you can probably do that with pancakes and waffles maybe once or twice before it's like, all right, let's go back to the classics. Let's play the hits.
Yeah.
Where else do you think you could use this stuff?
Coffee? No, because we already had the Fruity Pebbles creamer.
You put syrup in your coffee?
No, I'm just... Well, yeah, I mean, that's how like, all the coffee shops are doing it. You know, if you think about it, pumps of syrup.
That is true.
Yeah, what's it do? Well, I get... It's not maple, Dan. Well, I think we can all agree the one thing that does not is maple.
I've just never seen my barista pull out a woman-shaped bottle and pour from it.
No, they pour... Now, you... Gosh, Dan, you're really revealing your naivete, because what they do is they dump the woman-shaped bottles into the larger, fancier-looking bottles. Everybody knows that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just feel like... Anybody's trying anything. The branding on the Fruity Pebbles is just like, I will say it's interesting that they didn't, because I was just thinking during the last segment how like it feels like anytime something happens to one of the pebbles, it has to happen to both of them. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. there's very little thought given to, like, is this a good application for this or not? Like, it's they treat them like they're children. Like, if you get a creamer for one of them, you have to make a creamer about right. both of them.
You know, now that I think about it, because those pebbles shake-ups, when you got waffle crisp in a pouch, maybe that's what this syrup is destined for.
Ooh.
Or maybe you just need to put a bottle of it, like, over your house's doorway to ward off evil spirits or something.
Worth a shot.
I think it's pretty to look at, though. I'm still staring at it as we speak.
What's next, Dan? What else is... Oh, it's not about pebbles.
Mm-hmm. So I was hoping we would get some of these new General Mills cereals to try soon, but I'm told that they're sort of their PR warehouse is kind of backed up right now. But I did allude to these new products in the latest episode where Gabe co-hosted, and he did a wonderful job, by the way.
Yeah, it was great.
Did you actually fall asleep listening to it?
I did. It was fantastic. What wow. a treat.
What a meta experience.
I know.
But yeah, the first in General Mills' new line of January 2022 cereals is something that I feel like we should be allowed to take credit for, and that is Cinnagram Toast Crunch.
Yes, yes, yes.
So from the name and from the appearance of it alone, you can probably surmise what this is. It's Cinnamon Toast Crunch, but with a graham... Golden Grahams evoking type base instead of your typical sort of lighter rice and wheat base.
We've been banging the drum on this show for literal years that Graham is an underused flavor. When in a world where birthday cake is basically ubiquitous and pointless and unenjoyable, why not Graham?
Exactly. And moreover, last year, our cereal of the year that we sung endless praises for was Post's Honey Made Cinnamon Graham cereal, which, you know, the only real...
Can't find anymore.
Yeah, the only real fallback of that one was that it was really hard to find for a lot of people nationwide, and I like to think that we were, you know, sounding the trumpet for that thing.
Yeah.
And I know... that people from General Mills have read my blog before and probably listened to our podcast as well. So I don't think anyone's going to be offended if we basically say that Cinnamon Graham Toast Crunch is an empty bowl product.
Yeah, it's completely made by us, unless it's bad.
We did it, America, yeah. but yeah, there's no universe where I feel like this probably will be bad.
No, it's going to be very good.
It's going to be amazing. And I think the only thing that bums me out a little bit about it is that, and it makes sense that they did this to make it a Toast Crunch branded product instead of a variant of Golden Grahams, even though I really wish it was a Golden Grahams variant just because Golden Grahams never really gets the limited edition spin-off sort of love that, you know.
Yeah.
We get tons of Toast Crunches, whether they make sense or not. That it really seems like it's Golden Grahams Day in the Sun. Or they could have made it a straight up like crossover, a best of both worlds. But
yeah, it's interesting that they you see it's applied in a lot of like s'more cereals, but they don't specifically cite it as Golden Grahams.
Yeah, I think Golden Grahams has sort of lost its way when it comes to branding. It doesn't have like that catchy mascot or as many commercials. It's just sort of riding on that brand or that that cult word of mouth appeal that we're certainly mouthing on this podcast a lot.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I think there's definitely limitless opportunity in the Graham space should this Cinnagram Toast Crunch succeed. I want to see a maple Golden Grahams.
Yes.
A peanut butter Golden Grahams.
Yes, please. It's not your job, Dan.
Chocolate eclair Golden Grahams. Well, I'm just trying to take preemptive credit for when they make one of these that I can be like, see, that was us again.
In our inevitable legal battle.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of trends that I feel like keep occurring and no one seems to be clamoring for, there's a new cluster in town.
Mm-hmm. So Reese's Puffs clusters are joining Cinnagram Toast Crunch, and this one doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
Yeah.
Because last year we got Lucky Charms marshmallow clusters, which, you know, changed the typical oat-based cereal pieces that we all know and love from Lucky Charms to these super crunchy, like, gobs of stuck-together corn spheres. And it was probably one of my least favorite cereals in recent memory, just because why take something that's hearty and rich and turn it into something that sort of hurts the roof of your mouth, has less flavor, and is just overall less remarkable?
I found it weirdly addictive, but...
Really?
Yeah, weirdly. I just... Because it's just so purely... Like, I really like the crunch of the clusters. Not as good as Lucky Charms, but I don't know. There's something about the, like, sick sweetness of it that just really...
If you've ever wished you could be a horse getting fed sugar cubes, that's kind of what the experience was like to me.
Yeah.
But what really confuses me about these Reese's Puffs clusters, not only my distaste for the Lucky Charms version, is that Reese's Puffs was already a corn puff-based cereal, so you're not really changing a whole lot by just giving it a new mouthfeel. I'm guessing it'll probably be crunchier. Maybe, like, there's more surface area for the flavor to get into, or maybe this is just a case of, you know, like Golden Grahams, Reese's Puffs really hasn't gotten a lot of variety, and they really wanted to throw the brand a bone with this one. I don't know.
We don't know. We're not in these meetings, sadly. They don't consult with Dan and I.
Yeah, we put our ears against the door and try to get what we can out of it, but we've been thrown out of the building. We're not taking credit for Reese's Puffs Cluster Crunch, though. I can tell you that much.
Unless it's really good. Which I don't know why it would be.
Unless there's, like, Graham inside of the clusters.
If you're wondering why you saw confetti shoot out of the roof of the Cheerios factory, it's because they just invented the 1 millionth Cheerio. And congratulations to them.
Yeah, it would take several podcasts just to simply recite all the names of the different Cheerios varieties that have been out there. And we're now at the point where they're just taking different Cheerios flavors that have already existed and ramming them together into new combo varieties. And that's how next January we are also getting strawberry banana Cheerios, which is ostensibly a mix of strawberry Cheerios and banana nut Cheerios, both of which were very strong Cheerios varieties. And this is coming hot off the heels of strawberry chocolate Cheerios, which was also very solid. So this just seems like, you know, another status quo good Cheerios flavor. It doesn't appear to be one of the flavor blasted varieties like the chocolate peanut butter Cheerios, which I really liked.
If it's not flavor blasted, what's the point?
You know, there's merit to both, because the non-flavor blasted ones are much more, you know, dry palmful friendly, because you don't have to, like, have a wet napkin with you or something to get back in business afterward. But it seems like the less outwardly indulgent ones tend to forego the flavor blasting. And, you know, I don't have a problem with that. I think these will be pretty good. They seem to be taking up the mantle of Urkel O's from back in the day, which was a pink and yellow strawberry banana ringed cereal as well.
I think we were all waiting for somebody to take up that mantle.
Mm-hmm. Fans are going to be coming out in droves from their Urkel O's bunker that they've been waiting in for years. And, you know, I feel like these ones might make good treats as well, you know?
Some
sweet sauce in there to just really bind these suckers together, and he had a good time.
Now, Dan, what is plentiful?
Plentiful is one of the less outwardly interesting members of this General Mills lineup, but I think it has great promise instead. So these are two nut butter-based cereals that...
Okay.
They combine coated flakes with nut and seed clusters, and they're coming in both peanut butter and cinnamon almond butter varieties. This looks like a very dense and weighty cereal. It reminds me a lot of the Clif Bar cereals that came out not too long ago.
Oh, yeah, those were chunky.
Those were very strong contenders as well, just because they really hit you with the density, of course, and then also having a really, really rich and creamy nut butter profile. And yeah. That's kind of what I was talking about back in the Pebbles shakeups, that if you have that creamy element to contrast with the crunchiness, you got a really, really nice, you know, mouth playground, so to speak, of different textures and tastes mingling together really well. I can't say which of these I'm more excited for. Peanut butter is a classic, obviously, but cinnamon and almond butter are great as well. Do you eat a lot of almond butter, by the way?
I prefer it. I mean, like, if I'm going to eat a nut butter, I do go with almond.
See, for me, it's like peanut butter tastes actually like peanuts and butter, but almond butter kind of just tastes like almonds.
I don't mind that, though. Like, I don't know. I like that. Is that a negative for you, or like...
I guess it depends on the application of what I'm using it for. I like to eat a lot of peanut butter on apples, and I feel like almond butter doesn't hit quite as strong when you do it like that.
Mm-hmm. Now I'm just thrilled about this next entry. As another sure to be disappointing cereal that I will maybe, depending on when it actually shows up, be forced to buy for my children.
See, this is the first time I feel like that a licensed cereal based on a kid's property has come out where I have no clue what the source material actually is. Do you know what PJ Masks even is?
Well, oh, yeah, bub.
Well, tell me about it, please.
Well, the nighttime is the right time to fight crime. So the PJ Masks are Owlette, Gecko, and Catboy. And they're three friends. It's based on like a French children's book series, like Pyjama Mackie or something like that. But so they're like pajama clad kid superheroes that do inconsequential heroism. You know, like they'll stop Romeo, one of the bad guys, from stealing toys from a toy party, or fight Luna Girl, keep her from, I don't know, eating the moon or whatever she does. That's the PJ.
That sounds pretty consequential, eating the moon.
Yeah, but it's like, I don't know. It's like, imagine we have lots of moons or something like that. It's just like, it's never that consequential. Eating a picture of the moon, maybe, I don't know. It's not great, I would say. I don't mean to be judgmental. There's lots of children's programming that I do enjoy, and PJ Masks is not among them. I once went to see PJ Masks live.
Whoa.
In a show that I think took 4 hours. That's how it felt. By the, like, there was an intermission, and you could hear all the parents in the room, like, absolutely gutted. Like, just by the end of the show, it looked like a Civil War battlefield. It was a nightmare. Anyway, that's PJ Masks.
Well, they have their own cereal now. PJ Masks Midnight Berry cereal, which, you know, seems to be the latest in a long line of extremely generically buried licensed tie-in cereals from General Mills.
Yeah.
And, of course, it's these purple spheres. They seem to be the exact same spheres, perhaps, from the Space Jam 2 cereal that came out.
Yeah, it may just be the exact same. They just changed the label on the vat.
The Marmots look a little bit different, I believe.
Yeah.
We've got green bats, I think they are, blue lightning bolts, and what appears to be red or pink starfish, or maybe throwing stars. The star Marmots actually seem weirdly articulated and intricately shaped compared to most Marmots that I've seen. So, assuming that's actually true to how they'll look in reality, maybe that's one silver lining to be found here, is an impressive feat of Marmot engineering in the midst of an otherwise totally forgettable cereal.
Yeah.
Good luck to you if you end up buying this one.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Well, that's the news, and that is a lot of show already taken up by news, but we did want to, we asked you, our listeners, how was it we phrased this exactly, Dan?
Well, the original inquiry was asking our listeners what their royal decree would be if they became the supreme leaders, the presidents, the emperors of cereal, as it were, and then we presented our own, quick platforms of what our personal policies would be were we to run for this position. And then we had our listeners chime in about who they thought had the better policies overall and who would have their vote in this totally fictional and non-competitive competition.
Okay, yeah, the stakes have never been lower. So we are going to listen to some of your thoughts. I will ask you to please keep your cheers or boos to the end of the segment so you can enjoy everyone's contributions. Okay.
Hello, Dan and Justin. This is Isla calling from Vancouver. My pronouns are he, him, and I'm very grateful to be casting my ballot. Although this may be a contentious move, I would like to vote for you as co-emperors of the Cereal Kingdom. Whether you split the domains, say by sugars and fibers, or cereal and cereal-related products, or if you rule spoon in spoon, I think that would be the best, if not safest, move for our great and Odie nation. After all, what is Lucky without the charms? What is Captain without the crunch? And what is a bowl of cereal without the milk? Thank you both very much for the podcast. I eagerly anticipate the election results.
Hi, Dan and Justin. This is Steven from Houston, Texas. I was an undecided voter in the upcoming election for leader of all cereals. Until I heard Justin's statement, quote, "Don't let that good moo juice slide past you, my friend." I did not enjoy it. And I do agree that it will cost him the election. So I would like to formally cast my vote for President-elect Daniel Goubert. Thank you both for hosting these free and non-competitive elections.
Hi, Dan and Justin. This is M from Florida. And I'm just here to announce that my vote for the president of cereal is Dan. Dan, Dan, Dan for president. Dan for president of cereal. But of course, we can follow old-fashioned election rules, and Justin can be vice president of cereal. Thank you for your wonderful podcast.
I mean, it's worth noting that Dan pulls out these voicemails, so...
Look, I was trying to be charitable, and I picked out the ones that gave you either co-ownership or vice presidency, because I'm going to be completely honest with you, you didn't get any actual votes.
No actual votes this time, but, you know, maybe next time. I can't believe you got a jingle. Doesn't seem fair.
Good policy is good policy. Makes yeah, people sing.
And I did say don't let that good mood juice slide past you.
Yeah, that's going to be your...
It sounds like something I'd say. It's fair.
Your mood juice gate moment.
We've got... Let's tell you what. Let's do like one listener question. We have time. We have time.
Can I ask a question for voice memos for next time?
Oh, yeah, that's great. What you got?
This is one I've been sitting on for a few weeks ever since we started this this cereal political debate. But in the spirit of, you know, people were talking about Chris Pratt getting to voice Garfield and Mario, which made me think about if there was going to be an animated movie starring a cereal mascot, who do you think would get to play who? So, like, you know, who would star, which character would star in the movie and who would you have voice them?
It's a choice. It's really, really good.
And if you want to submit an answer to that, you can go to bowl.rest and look for the little record a voice memo or submit a message button. Forget the actual phrasing, but you'll find it.
Let's see. Here we go. Hi, Dan and Justin. A question for you. Long story short, in college, I tried making a pie using Golden Grahams to form a graham cracker crust, but due to the laminated nature of the pieces, it didn't crush well. What cereal would you use to make a pie crust, and what filling would you match it with? Thanks. Love the show. Jessica.
Well, you're the cereal dessert smith, so I'm going to let you lead this.
I think that you would probably do really well with, like, probably Cheerios. I mean, would be my, like, my instinct if you were to, like, crush some Cheerios. Probably Honey Nut, I would say. And mix in some sugar and butter. I feel like you could have, like, a pretty decent pie crust. And there's lots of different varieties you could mess with there. But I feel like that would be good. You know, the nice thing about that is that it would be gluten-free. Which is a kind of a rarity for crust. So that would be my guess. Now, what to have it with? I tell you what would be nice is a nice banoffee pie. Have you ever had a banoffee pie?
I don't think so.
It's I know that it's not as big here in America. It's more of a British thing, but we're talking like a layer of, there's like a cookie crust and then a layer of dulce de leche and bananas and then whipped cream with some chocolate on top. It's really good. It's really good, and I feel like that'd be a good match.
That does sound good. It combines the best worlds of hot buttered Cheerios and banoffee, I guess.
So, yeah, right.
I'd say my answer would be to use a crust made from crushed up apple pie toast crunch and then actually fill it with an apple pie and then crush for the topping dulce de leche toast crunch to really get that caramelized pie effect. So yeah, we're exploring different territories here, but I think those are two slices of heaven.
Sounds good to me, and so did this podcast. Thank you so much for listening to it. I would encourage you to go to serialistly.net. That's serialistly.net to read more about many of the products that were featured, or you can follow Dan's website on Twitter. It's at serialistlynet. You gotta really slow down and break that down syllable by syllable. It just doesn't land.
It's a mouthful.
Yeah. Just like the products it covers.
Exactly.
If you get a free second and a few free bucks, we would love it if you'd go to bowl.rest and then pledge some money to the show to help keep it going and support it. That really helps us out, and we don't push it real hard because this is primarily meant to be a place for relaxation. I keep meaning to mention it at the top because my fear is that people are asleep by this point and they don't hear that. Or at least some portion of the audience.
They will be sleepwalking to their wallets to give us money.
Yeah, here's hoping. Half of that goes to keep serialistly.net going, and half goes to a local shelter for people experiencing homelessness in my area here in the tri-state. So we really appreciate any support you can give us. What else, Dan?
We'd also like to thank Chris Zabriskie for his opening theme of The Sun is Scheduled to Come Out Tomorrow, Bria Davis for doing our lovely podcast branding, Samuel Rarden for designing our empty bowl enamel pin, and we'd also like to thank the brave Kellogg's workers who are continuing to strike for better pay and better working conditions. You might have heard that the strike is ramping up a bit, with Kellogg's deciding to replace striking workers, and we just want to continue to encourage you to avoid Kellogg's purchases when possible, because even if you consider a lot of the new Kellogg's products that are coming out, there are plenty of tasty alternatives.
Sure.
Like instead of a Wendy's cereal, you could buy any manner of chocolate puffed chocolate marshmallow mateys or Dash cereal from Off Limits.
You could buy a big hammer and hit yourself in the face. It'd be just as pleasurable. I'm guessing. I haven't tried this cereal, but this is, I don't know. I've become jaded in my old age, I guess.
Yeah, and instead of these cinnamon sugar crispies, they're cinnamon Chex or Mom's Best cinnamon crispy rice. Or if you're a Texan, go find those H-E-B horchata crisps. A lot of options out there for supporting other cereals, and we encourage you to vote with your dollar.
That's going to do it for us for this week. Until next time, on behalf of my friend Dan Gobert, I'm Justin McElroy. This has been The Empty Bowl. And as Dan says in every episode, despite me begging him not to,
don't forget to drink the milk.
It's Dan's signature catchphrase. He's wanting to strike out. I have a different one, but he never lets me do
it. What is it?
well, in the fiction of this, you never let me do it. So I don't actually
have to keep up appearances then.